You know, it wasn't until the 19th century when books became readily available, especially for the low income. I grew up with books. I loved to read. In fact, I would find corners where mom and dad couldn't find me because I wanted to read. And they always had one more chore for me to do. But for thousands of years, we told our stories around campfires, in the halls of kings and queens, and in the mud huts in the heart of Africa. There's something about a story that's told, and there's something sacred about a story that's heard. In these conversations, I'm just trying to provide a time and space to hear the stories of people around me. I knew each person before we sat down to speak and to listen, but I always came away from each conversation with a deeper appreciation and a deeper admiration for a person I already appreciated and admired. I hope you enjoy these conversations, and I hope you feel inspired to provide a space and time to hear the stories of others. Welcome to these unfiltered conversations. This afternoon, I'm with Ana Avila, and I got to know you a number of years ago. Tell me out when that was.
Probably a little bit before COVID. So I think I started working here late fall of 2019.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ana was a former employee of ours. So 5 years ago, and then you graduated from college, and then you moved on. Talk about your job a little bit. And over the years then, we've caught snippets of each other, we've seen each other here, and anyway, so I always enjoyed Anna's bubbly personality. Not that she's a social butterfly, necessarily, always has a happy face. And I thought, well, it'd be a great conversation. So anyways, we're here this afternoon just to talk to Anna. So Anna, we're going to start with your childhood. Just kind of start from there. Just tell me a little bit about where you came from, how you got here, what you did, what you're doing. Anything that you want to tell us about, the first part of your life.
Yeah, okay. So I was born in Elkhart. Both of my parents immigrated from a small town in Mexico called Apan Hidalgo. But they met here, actually. And, I was born in Elkhart. I grew up around, I went through all of Goshen Community Schools. My parents got divorced when I was young, like 5 or 6. And so that's all I ever really knew. And it kind of just felt... it wasn't something that felt shameful or anything. It was just like how I grew up, and it was for the best. And I have a younger brother, so he's 4 years younger than me. And growing up, we would kind of butt heads a lot. But then as he got older and I got older, things got a lot better. And we are best of friends now, and so that has been very good. But growing up, I was always kind of shy, but I tended to make friends easily, and so that was something I was always thankful for.
So Elkhart is your home. I mean, that's at least your childhood home.
Well, we lived in Goshen, and I'm not sure quite what the story was, but I was born in Elkhart, but we grew up in Goshen, yeah.
You were born in Elkhart, but you moved to Goshen.
Yes, yeah.
So you lived in Goshen most of your life.
All of my life, yeah.
Okay, all of your life.
Yeah.
And, so what part of Goshen did you move to, and what did you do as a child?
Yeah, so we lived near Parkside until I was about 3 years old, and then we moved into like the West Goshen district. So I went through all of the West Goshen. I went to West Goshen from first grade to fifth grade. For kindergarten, my birthday actually falls in like an awkward the middle of July, and so I didn't meet the age requirements to start kindergarten, like with Goshen schools, and my mom didn't want me to wait a whole nother year to start school, so I went to St. John's, actually, for kindergarten. And then the rest of my schooling, I went through West Goshen and then the rest of Goshen schools. But as a kid, I liked to read a lot. My mom read to me every night, and so I loved reading. I liked playing outside a lot, like monkey bars, swings, that sort of thing. We went swimming a lot, so some of my best memories were like going to the lake with family, that sort of thing. And I mean, my brother, it was just my brother and I, and then my mom. And so all of like my childhood, like Daniel, my brother's name is Daniel, Daniel and I, we would play together, and that was a lot of how I spent my time. Yeah.
So yeah, and you went to Parkside.
Yes.
Okay. And favorite teacher?
Favorite teacher.
Or a memorable teacher. Sometimes the memorable ones aren't necessarily the favorite ones.
Yeah, I think I have been really, I felt really blessed in like the teacher aspect, right? There were a couple of teachers that I felt really close to throughout like my schooling, but I was really fond of my kindergarten teacher. And I can't remember her first name, but it was Mrs. McLaughlin. And she was wonderful. I had really struggled with reading in kindergarten. And so I was had a hard time wanting to read at first because I knew I wasn't good at it, and that didn't make me feel great. And she was really patient, really helpful, and she was great. I had my second grade teacher was Amy Shade, and she was wonderful. And I actually took a position at, she's now the principal at West Goshen, and I took a position there. And so it was nice to go back there and get to know her in a different light, outside of being my teacher. Yeah.
So she was your teacher, now you're, she's still a supervisor.
Correct.
But sort of a colleague.
Yeah. Yeah. In a different, yeah, in a very different aspect, from like student to teacher to kind of a supervisor, coworker, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Did it feel odd when you started thinking about that?
Yeah, so when I first considered taking the job, I knew she was principal, and I was excited about that, but it did feel like I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, and so it did feel a little odd to go back there, and like she was someone that I knew but hadn't seen in a couple of years, and so going back there, and it felt like she was a different person, and I was getting to know her in a different way, so getting used to that sort of balance where it's like, oh, she's, I mean, it's been years later, but where it was like, oh, she's not your teacher. You don't have to call her Mrs. Shade, that sort of thing. It took some getting used to.
No, that's really cool that you can, that you get to work for or work with a person that you looked up to as a young child.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Then after you graduated from Goshen High School.
Yeah.
And then you went to Goshen College.
Correct.
And what took you to Goshen College?
Yeah, so originally when I was applying to schools my senior year, I was set that I didn't want to go to Goshen College. I think I wanted to move far away. I wanted that experience. And then I did a tour of Goshen College, and I really enjoyed it. And then they also offered me a good amount of financial aid, and that was hard to turn down. And so then when I was at Goshen College, I absolutely loved my experience there. I can't imagine having chosen anything else, and I made friends that I still talk to and we still visit, and I'm really thankful for that.
Did any of your high school classmates
end up at Goshen College?
Yeah, one of my best friends ended up at Goshen College, Sophia, and then I had a cousin who also ended up there, and so it was nice to go into it already having some sort of community.
Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up bilingual.
Yep.
Was Spanish your first language?
Spanish was my first language, yeah.
So, how did you learn English? Just going to school?
Yeah, so before starting school, my mom's English was limited, but she would practice like the basics with me, so like the ABCs, she taught me in Spanish and English, and then the numbers up to like probably 30 in both English and Spanish, but everything else came from school, and that's part of the reason that reading was so hard for me in kindergarten. Like at home, I mean, despite practicing like the ABCs and numbers in English, everything else was done in Spanish, and so when she read to me, it was in Spanish, and when we practiced reading together, it was in Spanish. And so then coming into kindergarten and having to learn how to decode words in English and with like different sounds, that was really hard for me.
I think I remember you saying that reading was hard for you.
Yes.
But then your kindergarten teacher helped you kind of get through that barrier.
Yeah.
And now you're a reader?
And now I'm a reader. Now I love it. Yes. Yeah.
So then you think of what would have happened if, you know, a kindergarten teacher or a first grade teacher didn't have the patience to look at a little girl and said, we can do this.
Yes, I completely agree. I think working at an elementary school now and being able to like sit in classrooms and watching teachers have that same impact on other students was really remarkable. It was so good to, I thought about teaching for a little bit, but I had chosen a different direction, but working at the elementary school and being back in classrooms, it was kind of like a what could have been situation. Yeah, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I often think of how little kids, early experiences actually informs their future. Mm-hmm. And I think of teachers or mentors or significant adults in a child's life and how much impact they can have on the future of that child.
Yes.
And so I'm grateful for a teacher that took you aside and helped you with that.
Yes, me too. I'm not sure how much longer I would have continued to have that struggle had it not been for her.
And you graduated from Goshen College with a
biochemistry degree.
Biochemistry. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about the biochemistry now in school. What are you doing with that in school?
Yeah, so I am actually not doing anything with that in school. I had graduated college and I wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to use my degree in, but I ended up working at a dermatologist's office for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I loved my time there. But during that time, I was trying to figure out whether I wanted to go back to school to get my master's or apply to grad school and other programs, and I just wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go, and I wanted a little more time, but I wanted to try something different. And I had a friend who held this position, apparently is on position before I had, and she was moving, and she's like, hey, I think you'd be great at this job. Why don't you come shadow me for a day and see if you like it? And so I went and I met some of the staff and I got to shadow her for a day, and I really fell in love with like the idea of being back in a school and being able to give back a little bit to the community and to like some of so I work directly with Spanish speaking families, and so it felt like a good way to give back. And so when I took the position, it had nothing to do with what I had majored in college, and just the job that I thought I would enjoy, and I enjoyed it. I think it's been my favorite job so far.
What does your day look like?
Yeah, so I'll sit in the front office and I do a lot of phone calls like with Spanish speaking parents who like call and have questions. Then I'll also go into classrooms and I'll help with students. This year we had a lot large influx of students who immigrated from Latin American countries and Mexico. And so I would be in the classroom and I would help them like during lessons, help translate, help them like finish do the work that they were doing. And then I helped parent-teacher conferences, helped schedule those sorts of things and events for the community and make sure that there was someone there who could interpret for them, and kind of making sure that parents felt welcome in a school where their primary language wasn't English.
Mm-hmm. And so every day you're using English and Spanish?
Yes, every day. Yeah, and having to switch back and forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty exciting for a person with your skills, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not curious. I've seen a lot of and gotten to know a lot of second generation immigrants or children of immigrants, maybe third generation. And I find sort of a tendency that the second generation either still has a lot of the culture wrapped into their lives.
Yeah.
But then I've also seen a lot of them that the parents say, no, you need to become part of this community. Mm-hmm. And almost the culture is almost, cut off. So growing up with a one culture in another culture.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you? And how did you stay with your mother?
Yes, yeah. I stayed with my mom.
So how did your mom help you sort of become that person?
Yeah, I think growing up, it was, I don't want to say difficult, it was kind of hard to, like, come home, and we only spoke Spanish, and, there were certain things that, I think it got harder as I got older. I think when I was younger, Like, aside from the language, it didn't really, like, I didn't really understand, like, oh, they're, like, it's a different culture. It's, like, there didn't, it didn't feel like such a big difference. I think the older I got, going through, like, middle school and high school, it felt like I quite didn't fit in with either group. And that was just sort of, like, we kept a lot of, not customs at home, but, like, oh, my mom only cooked Mexican food, and, like, we only spoke Spanish at home. But there weren't a lot of other cultural traits that we kept at home, like, that felt, that I felt like some of my other Hispanic friends had. And so then that kind of felt like a drift between the two, like, us two. And so then it felt like, oh, well, I don't quite fit in here. But then I also don't fit over here either. And so that was kind of tricky to navigate through middle school and high school. But I felt like in college that got a lot easier, where I was able to kind of explore a little bit more of what culture would look like for me as I got older.
So did you feel like you didn't belong anywhere?
Yeah, it felt like I...
At least it sounded like for a period.
Yes, yeah. Where I couldn't quite, fit in either place.
Do you feel that now?
I don't. Yeah, I think it got easier, yeah, when I got in college. And it felt like I... had a little bit more freedom to choose, like, the things that my mom had taught me that I wanted to continue on, and the new things that I was learning that I wanted to include. And that made it feel more of, like, I was beginning to choose my community instead of having to kind of adjust to the community that I had, that I was being raised in and that I was going through. And so that started to feel a lot better.
So which community do you live in now?
Yeah. I think that gets tricky, too. I think I want to say that I have a good mix of both, it feels like. It's a little tricky, especially right now, where I think of my friends as a large part of my community, and they're all in different areas right now. Like, they all... move to different parts of the country, and so it's nice to go and be able to visit them, but it's also tricky not having everyone in the same place all at once.
So after college, your friendships disbanded?
Yeah.
And went to go places?
Yes, and like we do a great job of keeping in touch, but we all decided to move or to stay in different locations, and so navigating those friendships, I mean, cell phones do wonders and FaceTime and text and stuff, but it's drastically different from seeing them every day to seeing them twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, yes. You know, Goshen has a fairly large Hispanic population.
Yeah.
And I think your experience is maybe unique in that you found your way through it.
Yeah.
And maybe others don't find it quite as easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what percentages that would be,
mm-hmm.
but I know that there are, you know, some sort of get stuck in a certain area.
Yeah.
They can't quite navigate their way through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you were able to find your way through.
Yes.
you know, you, you know, let's talk about your promised accomplishments. What's the thing when you look back in your short life? You're still quite young. I'm looking back and say, I'm really proud of what I accomplished there.
And I think it might sound a little cliche, but I think neither of my parents had graduated from college, and my dad had only gone up to middle school, and my mom had gotten her GED, and they were both wonderful and very supportive, like, throughout my education. But I think graduating college was one of my biggest accomplishments, and it felt like not only my accomplishment, but also something that I could share with both of them, because I truly couldn't have done it without them and their support. And I think that it would, like, growing up from my mom, it was always kind of an expectation that I would go to college, and she was always, like, she pushed it really hard. So when I first graduated, it felt like, oh, this is what I always knew that I needed to do because it was what I was told that I needed to do. But after a few years, when I was reflecting back on it, it felt like I felt like I had kind of diminished what a big accomplishment it was at the time. And then now when I look back on it, I think it's one of my biggest accomplishments. It's something that I'm really proud of and really thankful for. Like I said, I had a great support system, and they were both wonderful, and I couldn't have done it without them. And it felt like it was as much for me as it was for them.
I mean, I imagine you were the first one in your family?
Yes. Yeah, so from, like, I have cousins who had graduated before me, because my mom had 11 siblings, and she was on the younger side, and so some of them had gone on. But the first one from my immediate family, and it was, like, my cousins in that generation that really were the ones who started to go to college and were given that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. What was an artist thing growing up?
I think, like I said, my parents had gotten divorced, and I grew up with that, and so the divorce itself wasn't what was hard, but it was hard to, like, my mom had to work a lot. It was a single-income household, and so having to navigate, like, even as a child, understanding, like, oh, she can't be at this event because she's at work and not because she doesn't want to be there. And having to help take care of my brother from a young age, too. I think it was a really tricky situation to navigate between wanting to kind of enjoy the age that I was at, but also having to grow up a little bit faster than my peers.
You didn't have the time to be a child.
Yeah, sometimes it felt like that. Mm-hmm.
Do you play childhood now? Yeah, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
Let's just say that tomorrow you had to leave the United States for whatever reason. You could never come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't bring any crimes, nothing like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Just for some reason, you had to choose another country. What country would you choose?
I think Mexico would be the easy answer because, like, I visited, I have family there, it would still feel like home. I think if we took that out of the equation, I've always said that I wanted to experience Australia. And part of that is I want to see the Great Barrier Reef before more of it gets destroyed. And I do like the warmer weather, and so I think I don't know a lot more about Australia, but I think that would probably be my choice. Yeah.
Down under.
Yes.
There you go. So if you you're 20, mid-20s, mm-hmm. you're a 20-something.
Yeah.
Looking back, if you could give your 12-year-old self a piece of advice.
Yeah. I think I'd go back and tell my 12-year-old self kind of just to be more patient. And I mean that in the sense that, like, when I think about 12 and being in middle school and that sort of thing, I was really eager to, and actually it's a trait I still have sometimes, but I'm always, like, looking towards the future, I'm kind of trying to plan ahead and trying to be trying, or not even trying, but I'm always thinking, like, oh, once I get here, then, like, things will be better and I'll have this. And once I'm able to do this, then everything will be have been worked out. And I think as a 12-year-old, I felt that a lot in the sense where middle school was hard and it was tricky and navigating, like, being a middle schooler and helping out with my brother and things at home. I think learning patience and kind of learning to enjoy the time that you're in now rather than always looking for or thinking about, like, when you have this or when this time comes, and really learning to live in the moment. I think I still kind of struggle with that sometimes, and so if I could teach it to my 12-year-old self, I think I would, it would make life a little bit less stressful.
To slow down and
yes.
Enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
I suspect we're all probably a little guilty.
Yes.
But when did you first so you thought about going into teaching? But then you went into biochemistry. What was the thing in your life, or when did you start thinking, I want to study biochemistry? What was the thing that impacted or began to influence that thought process?
Yeah, I had first thought about it my freshman year for my honors biology class. I'd really enjoyed it, and I thought, I really like science and I really like biology, and so I was kind of thinking of where I wanted to take that. And then when I took IB Bio my junior and senior year, that's kind of when it really hit, that we had, like, an anatomy unit that I really liked. And then at that point, I also thought I might enjoy a little bit of research. Like, we had an independent project that we had to do and then a group project, and I loved that. It was something that I enjoy, and even, like, studying for it and doing the work for it didn't quite feel like work. It was something I enjoyed, and so I wanted to pursue that further.
Do you ever think you'll go back into biochemistry?
Yeah, I'm not sure biochemistry directly, but I am doing, like, an accelerated nursing program, and I'll be done in December, and so I am excited about that. And I kind of got that from the time that I spent working at the dermatologist's office, where I felt like I wanted more of that direct patient care. And I, like, although the physicians, like, they'll go in and they talk to the patients and they spend time with them, they just see so many patients a day and they're kind of in and out of the room. And I knew that I wanted a little bit more time to get to know patients better and to kind of not hear their story, but to get to know them on a deeper level. And so I knew that nursing would be a great opportunity for that. And so I decided to apply, and I started last August, and I'll be done shortly.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So if you could spend an evening with one person, dead or alive, and around a meal, any meal, just conversation for 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm not sure. That's a hard question.
Or maybe the other way to ask that. Is there a person that you admire incredibly that you think it would be so enriching to spend 2 hours in a casual meal just conversing?
Yes, I think, I'm sure there is, and I just can't think of who, like, one person that I would want to.
And you'll walk out the door and you think, oh, these funny things.
Yes, yes, and I'll immediately think of a large list of people that I would love to have dinner with.
You need to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, you're good.
You're a Goshen person. You grew up here, graduated from high school, college. What dream would you have for Goshen? If you could paint perfect Goshen.
I think Goshen does a great job at being really inclusive with different cultures and just events, and I think that's one of the things that I really like about Goshen. Recently, I was taking for one of my courses for my nursing class, we were talking about, in my community health class, we were talking about like different kinds of inclusion, and one of them was for kids with special needs. And they were one of the questions was asking to look at your hometown and kind of see like the ways that they've been inclusive. And I remember going into it, I was like, oh, Goshen does a great job at this. But then I was looking at our parks, I wish they were a little bit more inclusive for special needs kids. And I think that's something that I hadn't even crossed my mind before taking this course, and like the different ways that they can be inaccessible and just like for wheelchairs or like sensory things. And so I think if there's, and I think we have tons of parks that are available to the community, and I think that's wonderful. But ever since taking that class, that's one of the things that's been stuck on my mind, where I wish that we had parks or items that were a little bit more inclusive to children with special needs.
Great.
Yeah.
Any book or movie recommendations?
Yeah.
I warned you on that.
Yes, that one. When you said it, I was thinking about it, and there are two books that I've like read within the past 2 years that I really enjoyed, and one of them was When Breath Becomes Air, and I can't remember the author, but it's a neurosurgeon who wrote it, and he had just graduated from medical school, and he was just finishing his residency, and he gets diagnosed with cancer. And he talks about his journey throughout that, and that was a really hard book to get through, I think, but it was an incredible book, and I think I would recommend it to everyone. And then I also read a book called Let's Talk About Hard Things by Anna Sal, and she has a podcast, and I can't remember what the name of it is. But she kind of walks through like hard topics that are kind of considered taboo, or like death and relationships and money. And she talks about the importance of having those conversations with people that we trust and people around us, and how important they can be like for everyday lives, and kind of how to handle them and handling grief. And so that was a really enlightening book in that aspect.
So were there hard things you needed to talk about it?
Yeah, no, not quite. I think it helped me be a little bit more aware of the conversations that I have around those topics, and especially death. Like she talked about conversations that can be helpful afterwards, and conversations that aren't helpful after losing someone. And kind of like I remember she talked about how often when someone passes away, we will text the loved one and we'll say, "Hey, I'm here if you need anything, please reach out. I'm always here." And she's like, I know that no one says those words with ill intent. She's like, but then you're putting the weight of reaching out on the person who is already so overwhelmed. And I read that and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't think of how many times I've said those words and how unhelpful they must have been. And so I learned a lot about how to navigate these different conversations.
So what would be the helpful thing to say instead of that?
Yeah, I think she had mentioned that it was just helpful to continuously be reaching out and say, instead of having them reach out to you or saying, hey, like, if you need anything, just kind of checking in consistently and letting them know you're there, rather than asking them to let you know when you're needed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably a fine line between leaving the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Like the door is open, you can contact anytime
yes.
you want,
mm-hmm.
and not putting the burden on that person. Okay. You know, I think that's probably a little bit delicate sometimes
yeah.
to find that balance
mm-hmm.
of opening the door at the same time, also reaching out and keeping
yes.
the door open and entering it for them.
Okay.
So, yeah, great. Andy, also, what's yeah. this afternoon? Anything about you that's important for us to know? Maybe just one more question.
Yeah.
If your friends
describe you in words.
Just in the words. Anna is.
Yeah, I think.
What would be some words that they would use to describe you?
Yes. Based on words that I've heard before, I think they'd say that I'm friendly. I think they'd say that I'm kind. I think recently they say that I'm pretty outgoing, which is kind of different. I've never heard that before, and I've never thought about myself as outgoing.
You described yourself earlier as being shy.
Yeah, and so
it's been part of your life.
Yes, and so when and it's within recent years, but when I first heard them use that word to describe me, I was kind of surprised. But I think it felt kind of good to hear that, because I think I want to feel comfortable, and it's kind of stepping out of my comfort zone, and so seeing the people closest to me kind of become aware to that, I think, was really empowering. But that, yeah, I think funny sometimes, but not quite as often.
Well, Anna, it's been great catching up with you again, just hearing your story. And I'm sure if we had another 2 hours, we could unpack a few more things. But because we're all pretty complicated.
Yeah.
It's not easy to thoroughly dig in a short period of time. But anyways, thank you for sharing your time with us. And it was great catching up.
Yes, thank you for having me.
We had a conversation. Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Continue to be reminded that everyone has a story that needs to be told. Take a moment today to listen to someone's story and tell yours as well. Be well and make your world just a bit better today.